Many a narrow escape from the Indians did young Cody have while he was an express rider. Oftentimes he would leave a station with the warning, "Engine signs, Bill, look out, other rider said he seen him." Cody would nod in recognition of the information, transfer his saddle and package, and dash off on his fresh mount regardless of danger. One time he had been warned that Indians were about and was told to be on the watch. Down the trail ran the pony, fleet as the wind, out into the solitude and dangers of the vast wilderness. Mountains were on either side, towering cliffs overhanging the trail, and the wind moaning through the trees like a warning from departed spirits. The piercing eyes of the young rider kept a sharp lookout. In spite of his tremendous speed of 15 to 18 miles an hour, he saw every tree, bush, and rock. He knew that behind any one of them there might lurk a dangerous foe. Far down the valley, his quick glance fell upon an object lying flat upon a huge boulder directly in his path. On sped his pony without any checking of speed. Cody saw the object move and disappear behind the rock, but gave no sign that he saw. He held steadily upon his way. "There's an engine behind that rock. I saw his head," muttered Cody to himself. But his horse flew on directly toward the ambush, as if he did not know the danger lurked that way. By leaving the trail, he could escape behind a bluff that led off to one side. But apparently he had no intention of leaving the trail. Cody could see the Indian in ambush, leveling his rifle and waiting for the rider to come in his range. "Not yet, my friend. I shall stop before you get a chance to fire," said he to himself with a smile. Just before he came in range of the savage's rifle, he dashed his spurs into the pony's side, wheeled to the right, and headed for the cliff. By this, the Indian knew that he had been seen, and at once there came a crack of a rifle and a puff of smoke rising above the rock where the savage was concealed. This was followed by a yell from a score of throats from various places in the valley, and Cody knew that an ambush had been laid for him. It was up to his pony to get him out of danger, and the little animal seemed to realize the responsibility which was upon him. Putnam was the busiest man on the front, and probably the most dangerous enemy of the British forces. General Gage, who knew him well, managed to get word to him that if he would become a loyalist and join Gage's forces, he would receive a high rank in the British army, besides a great deal of money. Putnam blazed with indignation. "Rank," he cried to a messenger, "I have all the rank I deserve, and as for money, there's not enough in the British treasury to buy me for an hour. Tell General Gage he does not know what kind of man Israel Putnam is." The messenger retired with discomfort, and Putnam returned to his work. We now come to the Battle of Bunker Hill, in which Putnam played so conspicuous a part. All night long, Putnam had been busy. He galloped here and there on his white horse, in his shirt sleeves, and with an old white felt hat on his head. One minute he would be at Bunker Hill, urging on the fortifications there, and the next minute he would be at Breed's Hill, bringing up cannon to the front, and then would be off to the rear, urging troops forward. He did not have charge of the battle, but he was the leading spirit in it, inspiring the men, encouraging the timid, and hurrying everything forward. At noon, under the cover of their guns, the British landed on the shore near Breed's Hill. They were led by General Howe, a personal friend of Putnam and a brave English officer. Putnam hurried to the front to take command of his own troops.